Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would, please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy, chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. Well, let's go ahead. It's our last chance to read the whole chapter. Let's go back and read the whole chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Our focus is going to begin in verse 9, but we'll start at the beginning of the chapter. "I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and because of his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is close. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. Not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing. Make every effort to come to me soon, because Demas has deserted me since he loved this present world and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you, for he is useful to me in the ministry. I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak I left in Troas with Carpus, as well as the scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did great harm to me. The Lord will repay him according to his works. Watch out for him yourself, because he strongly opposed our words. At my first defense, no one stood by me, but everyone deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that I might fully preach the word and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil work and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus has remained at Corinth. I left Trophimus sick at Miletus. Make every effort to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Paul is in the Mamertine prison in Rome. Winter is coming and death is on the horizon. He says, "The time of my departure is soon." And as he faces this, there are some things he wants to tell Timothy. At the conclusion of several of Paul's letters, you have a bunch of names. He mentions this one and this one and this household and that group and so forth. And when we deal with those verses, very often the main point, or at least a main point, is the fact that this is in God's word because people matter. People are important. Jesus died to save people. Now, because of what Jesus did, the whole creation is going to experience a kind of salvation. But people are at the heart of it. We are the unique creation of God. We're not just kind of in there with the dolphins, okay? We're talking about God doing something very special when he made man, male and female, in his image. It was for his glory, to display what he's like. That's our job, and it's our job for eternity, not just in this life here on earth. So it is not inappropriate that God would give space under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to a number of people being mentioned at the end of many of these letters. But that's not all that's going on here. Because some of what is said is, greet so-and-so, and these folks also send greetings, and these folks have done a good job, but there's a whole bunch in here about folks who haven't exactly done a good job. Twice, Paul says, he's been deserted. He's been deserted. That hurts. There were people that he was counting on to be there for him, and they vanished. Look at it. Make every effort to come to me soon. He's wanting Timothy to come as soon as he can. So he says, make every effort. Don't just do it if it's convenient. Prioritize this. It is very important to me that you do this. Make every effort to come to me soon. Because Demas has deserted me. Well, names. Well, yeah, Timothy knew who Demas was. I don't. You don't. But Timothy did. And God does. And he says, Demas has deserted me since he loved this present world and has gone to Thessalonica. That's an indictment. I mean, that's a pretty strong criticism. The reason he deserted me is not because we didn't get along. It's because his eye was not set on eternity. His focus was on this present world. Let me just ask you a question. How many people live with their eye on eternity versus how many live primarily focused on this present world? We're supposed to be living in this present world with an eye on eternity, and that changes how we live here. It changes our investment strategy. It changes how we spend our time, how we spend our money, what we do for a living. Are you suggesting that all Christians are supposed to become preachers or something? No, I'm definitely not saying that. But whatever you do, you need to see the place where you are as a mission field, and you need to live strategically trying to reach people and share the gospel. Paul says, when I was on trial, my great concern was that I might be able to fully proclaim the gospel so the Gentiles would hear it. And that's what happened. He says, you know, that was it. It wasn't, and I'm trying to make sure nothing happens to me. I want them to know that I am a good Roman citizen. No, he did all of that in order to have a platform from which he could tell people about Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is the one that I want people to know. His purpose in doing what he did was to point people to Jesus. He says, that isn't the way that Demas wanted to live. Demas, who was with Paul, who was counted on by Paul, someone Paul relied on, Demas deserted him because Demas was more focused on this life. May God deliver us from being Demas, whose decisions are based on how's this going to affect me in this present life.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Not only that, Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Well, so was Titus a bad guy? No, what he's saying is there's nobody left. Luke says, what am I, chopped liver? And he says, well, only Luke is with me, okay? So when Paul says, everybody's deserted me, he means, so to speak, okay? So Paul, I think, just had some relational problems. His personality was very difficult. Well, actually, that's the truth. More about that in just a moment. But the fact of the matter is it didn't make it hurt less when he found himself pretty much alone. And then he says something else. He says, I not only want you to come, he says, bring Mark with you, for he is useful to me. Really? You want Mark? I thought you couldn't stand Mark. I thought the reason that you stopped working with Barnabas is because he wanted to bring Mark with him. And you said, no way, I won't have that guy in the same boat. I don't want Mark. He's a quitter. Barnabas said, he's my nephew. His message to Barnabas was, if you're going to go with me, you can't bring Mark. Now his message to Timothy is, and bring Mark. What has happened? Well, I would submit two things. Time has passed. And sometimes time does heal wounds. Another thing that has happened is that presumably Mark has matured. And he has shown himself to be, as Paul says, useful. He's turned out to be the kind of guy that God might tap to write the second gospel, okay? And so Mark is in a better place. But I want to submit to you something that I think is scriptural and very plausible, and that is that Paul had matured. Paul had gotten to the point where he could appreciate somebody who at one time had not appreciated him. Did you ever wonder why Mark quit? Mark was Barnabas's nephew, as we said, and Barnabas had been Paul's advocate. And so when they went on a missionary journey, Barnabas and Paul went on the journey. But along the way, God not only spoke through Paul, but did miracles through Paul. And after one particularly impressive miracle, the reading in the text changes, and instead of saying Barnabas and Paul, listing the leader first, now all of a sudden it says Paul and his company. Okay? I mean, after that happened, everybody's like, yeah, he is the real deal, okay? I mean, he's the real thing, okay? We're going with him. So now it's Paul and company going places, and Mark says, you just totally dissed my uncle. Does it say in the text that that's what Mark said? No, but come on, people. So Mark just said, I'm going back home. You guys sort it out. And Barnabas hung in there with Paul. He was like, hey, as long as God gets the glory, I'm happy. I love Barnabas. I find nothing in the scripture negative about Barnabas, including the fact he couldn't get along with Paul. I don't blame him. I don't blame him. But now, years later, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, please bring Mark. I want him with me. That's beautiful. That's grace. That's what God can do in our lives. That's what God can do in our lives. And then he says, remember he was saying he felt deserted because everybody had gone places, including Titus. And he now says, verse 12, I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. Well, no wonder they deserted you. You sent them away. Okay. Well, he's talking about the fact that he would like some help, but he's explaining, and if you're wondering where Tychicus is, he's on his way to Ephesus, so that should make it so that you can come here. And when you come, bring the cloak I left in Troas with Carpus. Why? Because winter's coming. Come before winter. Bring the cloak I left in Troas with Carpus, as well as the scrolls, especially the parchments. I want my library. How much of that do you think was the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures? Better believe it. How much of that was stuff do you think Paul had written? Don't know. But I sure am glad we've got what we've got, because we've got what God intended for us to have. And then he says in verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did great harm to me. The Lord will repay him according to his works. He doesn't say, you take care of him. You get him back. Have something done to him. He says the Lord will repay him. But then here's why he's mentioning it. Verse 15, watch out for him yourself. Watch out for him. Because he strongly opposed our words. He says this guy is an enemy of the gospel. And so you need to watch out for him, because I know that you're a proclaimer of the gospel. I just told you earlier in the chapter, preach the word. You need to know that this guy doesn't like the word. He's an opponent of the truth. There are people who are opponents of the truth. Watch out for him, verse 15. It's okay to watch out for people, and it's okay to warn somebody about someone who strongly opposes our words. So, watch out for him yourself. At my first defense, no one stood by me, but everyone deserted me. There it is the second time. He says, I've already been to court once. I've had my first trial. Everyone deserted me. Look at the next phrase. May it not be counted against them. You know, Jesus said that as he hung on the cross. Father, do not hold this against them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But Paul had heard it another time. Paul heard it when Stephen, the first martyr, was being stoned to death. And Paul was standing there holding everybody's coat and giving his approval for the stoning of Stephen. And Stephen said, Lord, don't hold this against them. Paul says, May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me. How beautiful. If you live for Jesus, your obedience will likely land you in situations where nobody will stand with you. May it not be counted against them, but the Lord stood with me. People in court couldn't see Jesus, but Paul says, I knew he was right there. He was standing with me. Hallelujah. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that I might fully preach the word and all the Gentiles might hear it. That was the goal. That's what it's about. So, he says, I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Verse 18, here's why we think it was not just physical that he was talking about. The Lord will rescue me from every evil work and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. I'll be safe even when I die. I'll be safe. They can't destroy eternal life. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila. This is Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Now, why would they list Priscilla before they list Aquila? She's the wife. He's the husband. Don't they need to switch it around? I mean, you said when you're talking about Paul and Barnabas, after previously it was Barnabas and Paul. I mean, they're listing as if she was kind of the leader in the relationship. Well, I've never met Priscilla. But I've met a lot of marriages where the woman is the leader. Well, do you think that that really is the biblical pattern? No, I don't. But it still happens sometimes, and Paul was a realist. And so Paul listed her first because apparently she was the one who was out there doing stuff. Now some, on the basis of this piece right here, want to say that that whole thing about wives being submissive to their husbands is out the window. That was one of those other things that Paul outgrew. No hint of that in Scripture. This is not that. Don't try and turn it into it. Okay? This is reality. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus has remained at Corinth. I left Trophimus sick at Miletus. I have to comment on that. Why did he leave him there sick? Paul, if anybody had the apostolic gift of healing, Paul did. Paul laid hands on a guy who was dead and he came back. Why would he leave Trophimus sick at Miletus? It's because God sometimes lets people endure illness for an extended period of time, like Paul apparently did with his eyes. Sometimes God chooses to take people home through sickness. Sometimes. We don't all have to die a martyr's death. Some of us get to have heart attacks. Some of us get to give testimony to the faithfulness and power of God as our bodies waste away with cancer. All kinds of things happen to Christian people. Sometimes the miracle is that we get to display our joy, our peace, our faithfulness in the midst of great suffering. And if that's what God calls us to, it's not because he doesn't love us. And it's not because it's going to be that way in eternity. It is because the greatest picture of God's love was displayed when Jesus hung on the cross and took our place. Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.